Turn with me, if you would, this evening for a short time to the portion of God's word that we read in Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6. And if we can read it, verse 2. That Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. The walls of Jerusalem are finished. They have been repaired. All that left was for the gates to be put on the walls. Jerusalem would then be safe. But the work was not yet finished. These gates still had to be hung. It would be like you being in your house. The walls are all there. Everything is in place. You're safe. But the front door is not yet hung. Would you feel safe going to your bed at night with the door wide open? Well, the gates were still to be put on. And we see right from the beginning, the assaults of the enemy began. As soon as the work begins, they miscall God's people. They miscall the work. They try to dissuade those on the wall from working. Now there is a new tack that is taken. Now Sanballat and Tobiah will attack Nehemiah himself. How often did the enemies, the Pharisees and the scribes, attack God's disciples? But ultimately, they wanted to attack the Lord Jesus Christ. Ultimately, it was the Lord himself that the arrows of the enemy would fall upon. And so it is now with Nehemiah as the walls are being built. You would discover that all the time until all is finished, until everything is complete, until God's work is finished, the enemy will attack. And that's true of the individual Christian. The Christian begins to follow the Lord Jesus Christ at the beginning. He's setting out in the work of the Lord, and the Lord is working in him. But the enemy will attack. The enemy will raise himself up against the soul that seeks the Lord. But that won't finish. All the days that Paul is running the race, every day until he leaves this world, the devil will attack him. And so it is that even though the walls have now been completed, the gates have still to go on, the work of the Lord has not been completed, the devil will start his attack all over again. And they seek now to bring against the person of Nehemiah himself. And how does the devil now do that? Well, he does that just now, and that's the first one. The first thing that the devil seeks to do is to distract Nehemiah from the work. He wants to take him and distract him from the work. He invites Nehemiah to go down to the plains, one of the villages in Ono. And he's doing that for a particular purpose. He wants to take the attention of Nehemiah away from the work of the Lord. He's wanting to distract Nehemiah. He's wanting Nehemiah to leave and to go down onto these plains. And he's seeking to distract Nehemiah from the work. And that's really our topic this evening, distraction. How the devil will seek to distract God's people from the work of the Lord. And there are four things that we want to look at. What is distraction for the Christian? What is spiritual distraction? What is it to be distracted from the work of the Lord? And then secondly, we want to look at something of the nature of that distraction. Even as we see it here in the experience of Nehemiah. Thirdly, we want to see one outcome of that distraction, that is being destroyed by distraction. And fourthly, the destroying of distraction. What is distraction? The nature of that distraction, destroyed by distraction, and the destroying of distraction. And then, as the Lord will enable us, we will maybe apply that just at the end. Let's look first of all at what is distraction. What is it to be distracted? What is spiritual distraction? We know what it is in everyday life to be distracted by something, our mind to be taken away from something. If you go back to the Garden of Eden and you have Adam in the Garden of Eden, and Adam's focus was upon the Lord. He saw the Lord in creation. He saw the Lord in everything that was before his eyes. The Lord came into the garden in the evening and Adam was focused on what the Lord was saying to him. He surely loved, and the picture you have of Adam in the Garden of Eden is a lovely picture before the fall. He's listening to what the Lord has to say, and the Lord comes and Adam's focused. There's nothing distracting him from the word of the Lord, from communion and fellowship with the Lord. But you see, that changes when the devil comes into the garden, because he distracts Eve and takes her mind away from God and brings her to be distracted from what God has said. And now she listens to someone else. She listens to the devil. The devil has distracted her. She's taken her attention away from the things of God. So that you now find how difficult it is, even for the Christian, not to be distracted from the things of God. You take, for example, one extreme example of that is when you come into the Old Testament and you see David. David is the sweet psalmist of Israel, but he's distracted. At the time when kings should be out in battle, David is there. He's distracted. He's not where he ought to be. And then his eyes are taken down and he sees Bathsheba. Once again, his eyes are taken off from the work of the Lord. And now he has been distracted. And sin follows. We know exactly what follows on from that. David sins. Because rather than focusing upon the work of God, rather than focusing upon the most important thing, he's been taken away. And now he sins. And the devil wants to do that with Nehemiah. He wants Nehemiah to take his eyes off the work of God and bring him down to the plains of Ono. It's a device of Satan, isn't it? And Paul, when he writes to the church at Corinth in his second epistle, he says, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. Satan has many devices that will take us, that we would be distracted instead of focusing on the main thing. Our mind is taken away somewhere else. Our attention is somewhere else. You take, for example, the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus is there lying at the gate of the rich man. Now, the rich man is a religious man. We know that because he says, Father Abraham. He knows exactly who Abraham is. This rich man is a religious man. Is he focused, however, on the work of God? Is he focused on the most important thing, the work of God, or is his mind and his heart distracted and taken away somewhere else? This man's focus is upon his wealth, not in the things of God. not on the things that matter most in this world. And you see, that's the device that Sanballat and Geshem now employ as they seek to distract Nehemiah from the most important work, from God's work. They come, they say, come and let us meet together in one of the villages in the plain of Ono. See, they're seeking to take Nehemiah away from the work of God. Now, we are not ignorant of the devil's devices this evening. Are you distracted from the most important thing of all, the work of God? The work of God in this world, the work of God in Jesus Christ, in the way of salvation. Are you distracted from that? The most important thing that you can confront in this world is the eternal well-being of your soul, but you're distracted from it because the devil comes and invites you to go down somewhere else. Rather than be in Jerusalem, the devil wanted Nehemiah out of Jerusalem. The devil wanted Nehemiah to be down in the plains of Ono. Perhaps you're here this evening, and there are many things that will distract you, take your mind away. You'll hardly perhaps be out of God's house. You'll be into the things of the week, and you will have no more thoughts on the work of God or on the things of God. That's what the devil wants. That's what the devil desires this evening, that he would take you and invite you away anywhere but the house of God and the things of Christ, the things of Jesus Christ. It's like the fowls of the air come and pluck that seed out of your heart. Remember when Peter and the Lord Jesus was going on the way to Jerusalem, and as they made their way there, Peter said to the Lord Jesus that he shouldn't go to Jerusalem. He shouldn't go to Jerusalem. He sought to stop the Lord Jesus going to Jerusalem. And Jesus said to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Now, that wasn't because Peter had become Satan. And it wasn't because Satan had entered Peter the way he enters Judas. It never says that he ever enters Peter. But he says that to Peter because Peter had gone on to the territory occupied by Satan. Peter had now adopted the position, instead of looking at the work of God, which the Lord Jesus Christ had before him, he had the work of God, he had to go to Jerusalem, this is the work that he had to do, but Peter had adopted a position that was opposing the Lord Jesus Christ. He had been taken. Nehemiah had been taken onto the plains of Ono. And the devil can come and distract any one of us, that our mind is not upon the main things. That can be an unbeliever here this evening. An unbeliever, the devil will come and seek to take your mind away from the main things. You go out into the world, and all the things of the world, or everything in the world, takes you away from the main thing, the work of God. But it's not just an unbeliever that can happen to. A believer can happen to a believer. That the devil comes, Sanballat and Tobiah, even within your own heart, the Sanballat and Tobiah that's in here, can mean that you are taken out of Jerusalem, down onto the plains of Ono. You can be distracted from the things of God. So, what is distraction? Distraction is when your mind and your heart are taken up by the secondary things, rather than the main thing, the work of God. And Nehemiah was being tempted and distracted by these men. to turn away from the main work of God. And that brings us on then to the second point. If that is what distraction is, what is the nature of the distraction that the devil sets before Nehemiah? It's very enticing, isn't it? It's very enticing to go down. He's not asking him to go to the mountains. He's not saying, Sanballat and Tobiah are not saying, or Sanballat and Geshem are not saying to Nehemiah, go up into the mountains, go up into a rough country. He's telling him to go out onto the plains, any village. Go down onto the plains of Ono. And many of the commentators will tell you that this was a most favourable place. The villages down there, it would be like almost going down to some of the big resorts, wealthy resorts. It wasn't a place that was unattractive. It wasn't a place that was a place that would be hard to go to. In fact, it would be a very enticing place. It would be to go to somewhere that, and to be somewhere that was very nice indeed. And do you not find that even with the rich young ruler that comes to the Lord Jesus Christ? The rich young ruler comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, and what does he have before him? He has following the Lord and picking up his cross, following Jesus Christ, which are the things of God, the things of eternity. But set before him are all the riches that are his. All the riches of this world. He was a rich young man. And when he weighed it up, he turned away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he embraced all these riches rather than Christ. The devil will come to the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and he will offer him all the kingdoms of the world. If thou wilt bow before me and worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. They are mine to give you. But the Lord Jesus Christ put first the work of God, the salvation of his people, the commandment that the Lord had given him to do. You see, it was more important. What was more important to the Lord Jesus Christ, all the riches of this world, or the work of God? What was going to be more important to Nehemiah, the plains of Ono and a meeting down there, or the building of the walls and the hanging of the gates at Jerusalem? And how accommodating they were. Come down in any village you want. Come down in one of the villages in the plains of Ono. I'm sure that simply going down to Ono itself, or the plains of Ono itself, would not have in itself have been a sinful thing. To walk down to Ono would not in and of itself have been a sinful thing to have done. What made it wrong was that the work of God was in Jerusalem. The building of the walls and the hanging of the gate was far more important to Nehemiah than to go down into the plains of Ono. And my friend, you see, there are things that may in themselves be legitimate. There are things in themselves that may be lawful. But in and of themselves, they take us away from the Lord and the work of the Lord and what the Lord would give us to do. And there may be many things. I read of one preacher, and he said that every morning he sought to have time with God. He would read and he would pray. And mornings he would do that. But some mornings he would be on his way down to read and to pray, and there was the emails. I'll just go and look at the emails. And before long, he's answering emails. And his time with the Lord is put to the side. See, even lawful things can be themselves even lawful things can of themselves be wrong for us, because they take us away from the work of the Lord. And notice how here how these temptations and these distractions, that the distraction from the work of the Lord didn't come once, it came five times. They came back to him once, meet us down in the plains of Onri and of Ono, and a second time, and a third time, and a fourth time, and the fifth time it came with a letter warning him. You see, these distractions, the devil just doesn't. When the Lord Jesus was tempted, he was tempted not once. He was tempted not twice. He was tempted three times. And do you think that's the only temptations that the Lord had? It says that the devil departed from him for a season. The temptations that the Lord had out in the wilderness there were not the only temptations that the devil brought before him. They were three main ones out in the wilderness when he had been there for 40 days. But the Lord was tempted many, many times. The devil will come many, many times and seek to distract us from the main work. And it can take our mind and away from the main thing. Remember how the Lord was in a house, in the house in Bethany. And there you have Mary and Martha. And Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus, and she's listening to what Jesus has to say. Martha is distracted. She's distracted with the fact that there's a meal to be prepared. She's in the kitchen. She's busying about doing many things. And at the end of the day, she rebukes Mary for allowing this to happen. But the Lord Jesus says, you know, Martha has chosen that good portion. Martha had been taken up with the secondary things, where Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus with the primary thing, the most important thing. That day when Jesus was in the house of Mary and Martha, the business of the Lord was far more important than the meal to be served. And because of that, she was distracted by all these things that had to be done. She was distracted by the meal, where Mary is there sitting at the feet of Jesus. You see how distraction, the very nature of it, brings us to think upon secondary things. And the devil wants Nehemiah, Sanballat and Geshem, and they want Nehemiah to turn his back upon the principal work that he's, the good work that he says here, saying to him, I am doing a great work. They want him to turn aside from the great work and to go down onto the plains of Ono, to one of the villages, to meet with them. Let's have a parley. Let's just come down and speak together. Let's be friends. See if we can perhaps be friends here. Well, that brings us on to the third thing. If the first thing is, what is distraction? The second thing, the nature of that distraction. The third thing is, destroyed by distraction. Nehemiah says, but they thought to do me mischief. Satan wasn't, and Sanballat and Geshem weren't seeking the good of Nehemiah. They weren't seeking the good of God's cause. What they wanted was Nehemiah to be taken away from Jerusalem. They wanted Nehemiah taken out of Jerusalem onto their ground. Samaria was where Sanballat was the governor. It was nearer where he was anyway. It was nearer his territory. And the devil wants to take God's people out of God's house, out of Jerusalem, away from Jesus Christ, and bring them down into his territory. Nehemiah leaves there, goes down to the plains of Ono. No matter how nice that place may look, no matter how accommodating it may appear, he would be on dangerous ground. Peter was on dangerous ground when the Lord said to him, "Peter, get thee behind me, Satan." He was on dangerous ground because he wasn't listening to what the Lord was saying. He wasn't doing that great work. He wasn't listening to the great work that Jesus had to do. And Nehemiah here is being sought to be taken out of Jerusalem, taken down, and seeking that he would turn his back on God's work and bring himself onto these plains and be in a dangerous position. My friend, it reminds you, doesn't it, of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, he had that great work. And he set his face as a flint towards Jerusalem. And there he is on the cross. There he is suffering on the cross, being crucified, the nails in his hands and in his feet. And yet, in the midst of it, he's interested in the work of God. When the thief turns to him and speaks to him, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." The Lord Jesus Christ, even on the cross, showing his love to a thief that was dying by his side. But you know, to go down into the plains of Ono would have been perilous for Nehemiah. It would have taken him into danger. It would have seen him going down into the territory of Sanballat and Geshem. And my friend, that's what the devil wants for you this evening. David was in a very dangerous place, wasn't he, when he was distracted from being the king, when he was on the battlement, when he saw Bathsheba, he was in a dangerous place. And he would have been in a place that would have destroyed him, was it not for the mercy of God. God had mercy on David. David's sin was forgiven. He repented of his sin. He turned from his sin. He repented of his sin. And the Lord had mercy upon him. He had gone down into the territory instead of being in the army, fighting the battle, fighting that good fight of faith with his army. He was at home. He was with Bathsheba. My friend, he was in a dangerous place. What a blessing it was when Nathan came and said it to him, and David repented and David was saved. But my friend, how many souls go into a lost eternity, even under the sound of the gospel, because they don't stay in Jerusalem? They listen to the distractions of the Sanballat and the Geshem, and they go out onto the plains of Ono. How many souls are lost and enter into a lost eternity? Not because they reject so great salvation. When Paul writes to the church, to the Hebrews in chapter 2, he doesn't speak about those in the church, those who were Hebrews, as rejecting salvation. He says, what would it be if we neglect so great salvation? If we neglect the things of God, if we are distracted from the things of God, if we are taken away from the things of God because of the plains of Ono, instead of being in God's house, instead of being in Jerusalem, instead of putting these gates back on the walls, instead of laboring in the work of the Lord, how Nehemiah could have been distracted by the temptations and the invitations of Sanballat and Geshem. And how many people today are in God's house and will enter into a lost eternity because of the invitations of the devil, of the Sanballat and the Geshems of this world, to take them out of Jerusalem, to take them away from the Lord's work, and to take them away into the vanities of this world. Souls lost. What would Geshem and what would have Sanballat and Tobiah, what would they have done to Nehemiah when he went down, and if he had gone down there? Very possibly they would have killed him. Very possibly they would have cast him into prison. God's work would have stopped. Nehemiah would have been lost. The destruction, destroyed by distraction. But you see, Nehemiah wasn't destroyed by distraction, was he? He destroyed the distraction. How did he do that? How is it that Nehemiah was able to remain firm? The fourth point then, if the third point is destroyed by distraction, and how he could have been had he listened to what they had to say to him. But rather than that, we see the destroying of the distraction. And how does he do that? Well, we saw last week that he had discernment. I think we had four things. He had discernment. He was able to discern what was in the heart of these men. He could discern that these men were the enemies of God's cause. And my friend, today, you can surely discern those who are the enemies of your soul, those who look out for your soul, and those who are the enemies of your soul. You can surely discern who there is that has a concern for your eternal well-being and those who don't. He was able to discern. He was committed. He was committed to the cause, committed to the work. It was the work of the Lord, and he was committed to it. And my friend, are we committed to the work of the Lord? To doing what the Lord commands us to do? The third thing was a very important thing, if you remember, prayer. He prayed, and you read, "My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to their works." Verse 14, he prayed. And he trusted in the Lord. That's the fourth thing. He had discernment, he had commitment, he had prayer, and he had faith. And my friend, you have a wonderful example, surely, of that in the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was one. He said that I pressed towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He was pressing on. And there were many things that could distract him, that would take away his attention, many things that would bring him fear, many things that would perhaps encourage him to turn aside. But he says, I press on. He's discerning. He's committed. He has faith. And he prays. And he presses on towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But my friend, we mentioned these things last week. I want to bring you one other thing that the apostle says when he writes to the church to the Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. And you see there, he talks about we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. My friend, what a cloud of witnesses we have. We have the Old Testament. We have the Bible that speaks of those men in the Old Testament and who were martyred for the cause, who were put to death for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, we are surrounded. We are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. So what does he say? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, how are you going to run that race? How are you going to run the race so that these distractions that the devil, the Sanballats and the Tobias put before us, how are you going to run that race, and how are you going to be able to cast off the weight and every sin and everything else? How are you going to do that? Paul tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's how we are enabled to destroy the distractions that could destroy us. We destroy the distractions by looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. All these distractions, you see, all the distractions that the devil puts before us, you then compare them in the balance between Jesus Christ, and you look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and that allows you, and that enables you to overcome. That enables you to destroy these distractions by looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And when you look there, then just a few words of application at the end. Nehemiah knew his adversary. He knew what he had in Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem. He knew exactly who he was fighting against. And my friend, this evening, the Bible tells us that we need to know our enemy. We need to know the enemy of our soul, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Before you can overcome your enemy, you need to know your enemy. And Nehemiah knew what he had in these men. And he didn't go out to the plains with them, because he knew that they weren't for the good of Israel and for the good of his soul. We need to know our enemy, the devil. He can go about like a roaring lion, or he can come like a lamb. And we also need to recognize that he will use every means to distract us from the work of God. He will come with anger, as these men came before. They'll build a wall, but a fox will get through that wall. Who are these people? He will come like that roaring lion, or he might come and say, "Let's have a meeting. Come with me. Leave Jerusalem. Come down onto the plains of Ono. You'll be safe there." My friend, he's a deceiver and a liar. And he has been a deceiver and a liar from the beginning. He deceived Eve when he came and distracted her in the Garden of Eden. And he will come with us with his lies equally today. We need to recognize that he will use every means. Thirdly, we need to know what the Lord would have us to do. Nehemiah knew exactly what he had to do. He had to put the gates back on the wall of Jerusalem. The man that was standing on the wall with the sword, ready, watching for the enemy, he knew what he had to do. The worker that began to build the wall, and the person, the people that came and lifted the doors and put them back on, they knew what they had to do. The devil will take you very easy if you don't know what the Lord would have you to do. Think this evening about what the Lord would have you to do. He won't have you to do the same as me, and he won't have me to do the same as someone else. But he this evening lays before you and says, "This is the way, walk ye in it. This is what you must do." You need to know what you have to do. And I leave you with one verse this evening. I want to leave you with this verse as we conclude. It's in Joshua chapter 22. And it's in verse 5. This sums up something of what we have been saying this evening. Joshua chapter 22 and verse 5. "But take diligent heed to do the commandments and the law, which Moses the servant of the Lord charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went unto their tents. What a wonderful blessing. Joshua blessed God's people. Our Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ, says to us this evening, love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways, keep his commandments, cleave unto him, serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Nehemiah, don't go out of Jerusalem. Don't go down onto the plains of Ono. Nehemiah knew that they meant him ill when he took them, when they sought to take him away from Jerusalem, where God met with his people. Let us pray. Gracious and ever blessed Lord, we thank thee for thy goodness and thy mercy to us. We pray that thou would go before us in the rest of this day. Undertake for us, we pray thee. And lead us, we pray thee, in thy ways. Bless us in the rest of the day and in the week that we've entered into. May we seek to follow thee. Pardon us all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalm 139, and we'll sing from verse 21 to 24. The tune is Huddersfield. Psalm 139, from verse 21 to verse 24. Do not I hate all those, O Lord, that hatred bear to thee? With those that up against thee rise, can I but grieved be? With perfect hatred I them hate, my foes I them do hold. Search me, O God, and know my heart, try me, my thoughts unfold. And see if any wicked way there be at all in me, and in thine everlasting way to me a leader be. Psalm 139:21. Do not I hate all those, O Lord, that hatred bear to thee? Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, three persons, one God, rest on and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.